Well, I'm getting the high sign from Larry that one of our guests is running late in traffic at this particular time. Do we have Mr. Naughton? Major, are you there?
I'm here.
Or should I just call you state rep?
Well, on Veterans Day, with my brother and sister veterans out there, I'm a major and honored to be a member of the United States Highway Reserve and have served with some really courageous and brilliant men and women previously in Iraq and Afghanistan during my reserve career. So today's Veterans Day. Every day should be Veterans Day, but today is a special note, and I'm proud to join my colleagues in observing this day.
Well, myself, and I'm sure Joe will yes. say the same thing. We thank you, and thank you for your service, you and your brothers and sisters in the military.
That's kind of you to say. Thank you.
I had a chance to meet you in person today. It was very cool to meet you. You were participating in the Brockton Parade. Did you go anywhere else after Brockton?
Today was a busy day. I started up in Boylston, Mass, at the dedication of a plaque for a young sailor named Jay Burkhardt, who was killed while training for the Desert Storm invasion 23 years ago, a fine young man whose family still lives in the town. And then I had the honor of coming down to Brockton and seeing you and many of my dear friends down there in Brockton and marching in the Brockton Parade from in front of the Registry of Deeds down there, the City Hall. Saw some great, great friends and very impressed by the Brockton High School Junior ROTC group. And from there, I went over to Norwell, and what a beautiful little town that is. And they did a great ceremony. Bill Malloy, a friend of mine, a retired captain in the Navy, put together a great ceremony. And it was really heartwarming to see that town come out. You know, sometimes the veterans wonder whether or not, and the soldiers downrange wonder whether or not their efforts are being remembered. And I can tell you, Norwell did itself well today, as did Brockton. Went back to Brockton for a little bit. For the luncheon that they had for veterans at the VFW. Again, Brockton really stepped up. And right now I'm up at the Kennedy Library, where the home base program is having a dinner for the Wounded Warriors, for the program that home base, which is part of Mass General Hospital, puts on to raise money to treat the signature wounds of this war, of the Iraq and Afghan wars, which are traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress. And so it's a great crowd up here, a lot of great supporters. It was a great forum they had this afternoon with several experts from around the country talking about how we're going to treat these issues. Because think about it. Right now, we still have many, not as many as we used to, but many World War II veterans that we're dealing with, you know, 60-plus years later. And so think about the soldiers coming, the service members coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. We're going to be dealing with their issues for 70 years to come, 80 years to come, given life expectancy. So the sooner we look at the issues of post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, there's an awful thing going on. One veteran or service member per hour commits suicide. Mm. That's awful. We've got to get to the bottom of that. That's a platoon a day. If we were losing a platoon a day in Afghanistan, three divisional commanders would be relieved, and there'd be 20 congressional investigations going on. We've got to do something about that. And so it's programs like Home Base, the Wounded Warrior Program, which is right now, I think, having an event back at the Brockton VFW. They are stepping up and looking at the needs of our returning veterans. And I think what I also need to mention are the families that are left behind. When I went to Iraq, when I went to Afghanistan, I had one job. That was to come home in one piece. But my wife was home with four children, still getting them to school, to activities, to dance, to swim, to all their after-school activities, and keeping the house together. They are the unsung heroes, the wives and spouses left behind taking care of the families. And it's created a lot of stress with multiple deployments. It has created a tremendous amount of stress on the family situation. And so those are the unsung heroes, the families left behind. And they're remarkable, remarkable people that serve in our military. And I'm glad for my association with them.
Talk to us about, you know, you are, I didn't realize this, the highest ranking military officer serving as an elected official here in the state. Give me your thoughts on not only being someone who is doing quite a service when it comes to serving your country, serving your state, but some of the things that, you think maybe folks don't realize, that things that are available for veterans.
Oh, that's Massachusetts. And people are amazed in other states when I say this, colleagues of mine in the military. Massachusetts offers the most broad-based and comprehensive veterans program in the entire country. Every city and town under Chapter 115 is required to have a veteran service officer. We provide benefits for veterans that might be in a tough position, a tough spot, that might be out of work. We provide financial benefits for our veterans that qualify. We've got our two soldiers' homes, which complement what the VA does. We've just passed Valor Act 2 with the leadership of some great people, including down in your area, Mike Brady, Claire Cronin, yep. Senator Tom Kennedy, that will provide tax credits for employers that hire a veteran. We step up in Massachusetts to make sure that those that have gone for us, that have sacrificed for us, are taken care of when they come home. And this goes back to the Civil War. This isn't something that just happened. We've had great leadership on the legislative level and the executive level on what benefits we provide veterans in this Commonwealth. And we're trying to continually look at them, look at those benefits, look at those programs to take care of the changing needs of veterans. The needs of our Iraq and Afghan veterans are different than the needs of our Vietnam veterans, different than the needs of our Korean veterans, different than the needs of our World War II veterans. And I spoke at an event actually in Worcester today as well, honoring the Korean veterans. And I said, I thanked them on behalf of Iraq and Afghan veterans. And I said, it's because of you, because of the sacrifices you made, that the benefits that we enjoy now, those of us returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, enjoy. And because of that sacrifice and that history and that interest. And it's very important to note that every service member now is a volunteer. And many of those have joined or re-upped since 9/11, and they knew they'd likely be going to war. That says a lot about our young men and our young women. It gives me a lot of hope for the future of our Commonwealth and the future of our country. And it's incumbent upon those of us in public office to continue that tradition of caring for our veterans. And I think the fact that I'm a legislator and a veteran and in the Army Reserve still, that informs what I do at the State House. It allows me to explain to my colleagues who may not be veterans or may not have anyone in their family that's a veteran, the needs of our veterans. It informs this new generation, and I'm happy to bring that. And that goes back to the founding of the Republic, that those in public office and those that that held positions would eventually step away and go and fight for the country and support the country in a military capacity. And then they come back, and they come back to their civilian positions. And that's carried through the history of our nation. In World War II, 44 members of Congress were deployed while holding office. And I think that's important because it's reflective of our society. It reflects the fact that if you're going to hold office, if you're going to make decisions affecting veterans, you should have the influence of someone who's experienced that.
And again, we are speaking with State Representative Hank Naughton, who I believe you've been a state representative since 1995. Is that correct?
I have. 19 okay. years. It's a great experience. When I started out, my wife and I were newly married. I was just out of the district attorney's office in Worcester County. Mm. And I was, we didn't have any kids. Now we have four kids and a home and three dogs, and life goes on. I built my life with my wonderful wife, Ellen, while I've been in the legislature.
What was it about the open seat for Attorney General? What made you decide to want to run for that office?
You know, I go back 30 years in a career of what I like to think of as public service. I was an investigator for the Commonwealth in the welfare system, seeing fraud, abuse, and the neglect of children, trying to fix that. I decided to try to increase my skills by going to law school. I went to law school nights, 4 years, to Suffolk Law School, driving in and out every night. And then I became a prosecutor, an assistant district attorney in Worcester County, again in an effort to work for public safety and work for increasing the quality of life of our fellow residents of the Commonwealth. And I did that for several years. And the legislative seat opened up, and my wife and I talked about it, and we decided that was the chance to do good on a broader basis. And I ran for that, and I've enjoyed it for 19 years. At the same time, after 9/11, joining the military again to step up and serve the public and protect our society. And when I got back from Afghanistan last year, it was just after that the Newtown happened, and many pieces of legislation affecting gun safety, school safety, and mental health were filed, and the speaker instructed us to try to put a comprehensive public safety bill together, which I'm working on now and will be out shortly. And all those factors, when the Attorney General seat opened up, I said, you know, that's the next step, to be able to, in my career in public safety, in my career in public service, to come forward and try to do good on a broader basis, to take the Attorney General's office in a new direction, not just prosecutorial, but regulatory, advisory, collaborative, ensure that our children are protected. I worked on some of the first internet predator legislation years ago to assure that workers and consumers are protected, to assure that our environment is protected, to assure the safety of our children through the in our streets, our schools, our neighborhoods, through the implementation of the gun legislation, the gun safety legislation that's being filed. Get the illegal guns off the streets. That's our goal. Get the illegal guns off our streets. We're not looking to hurt the lawful firearm owners. And finally, and it sounds a little bit esoteric, but cybersecurity is a threat that you wouldn't believe. I see it in my military side, and that just doesn't even go just to the terroristic threats. It goes all the way down to the protection of your bank accounts, your electrical grid, your identity, your parents, our seniors. And I think the resources of the Attorney General's office will be very important to be the bulwark in protecting our society against each of these threats. And I think the skill set that I've built up over the last 30 years is pretty unique, and it offers a different vision of where we can go with the Attorney General's office to try to take this Commonwealth into the 21st century as far as the Attorney General is concerned.
We are, again, speaking with State Representative Hank Naughton, who is running for Attorney General in next year's state elections. I have to ask you, any early indication as to what you think some of the issues are going to be that will be discussed for the candidates who are going to run for the seat?
I think what we've seen out there is people want to make sure, especially after the bombings last year, earlier this year, April 15th, that they're going to have someone as Attorney General who's got a knowledge of these issues, of the homeland security issues, of the security infrastructure issues, and someone who can deal with that, someone who's experienced with it. Also, I think we're very concerned about our children. My kids are 16, 15, 13, and 10, and they come home from school every day with issues that, man, I can't imagine when I was that age having facing, and they don't even realize it. And I think they want our children protected, and they want someone who's got experience with that, someone who's raised a family and seen them grow and gone off to war in an effort to make sure that our society is protected. They want to see someone who's going to protect jobs and economic development in this Commonwealth, and the secretary and the attorney general does that by creating safety in the streets and allowing merchants and business people the ability to have security when they open their businesses. And they want to see that they're going to be protected, that their bank accounts are going to be protected, and that technology isn't going to overtake them. You know, the corporations are growing larger and larger, banks are growing larger and larger, and the ability of the little guy to deal with that is shrinking all the time. And I think people want to see that. They're going to have the people, the Attorney General will be the people's lawyer out there in the streets and protecting them against these large entities, these large groups that could affect their financial livelihood. So that's what I'm hearing out there in the street. I'm also hearing a desire to see more of the Attorney General's office. And I call it, it should be the people's lawyer. A lot of people know what the district attorneys do. They're the crime fighters. You see them on the front page of the paper. A lot of people don't really have a good idea on what the Attorney General's office does. And my vision is to bring it into the streets, make it much more community-centric, get out there into the cities like Brockton and down on the South Coast and Fall River and in New Bedford, out in the West in Pittsfield and Northampton, and let the people know what the Attorney General's office does and the resources that are there to protect their rights and interests. And the bottom line is provide a fair playing field.
I got to stop you and ask you a quick question. Sure. One of the things that I happen to notice on your campaign that you would look to provide protection is when it comes to the environment. And I can think of two things that I know that the current Attorney General has been working towards. One of them, it would be as far as fuel rod storage with Pilgrim. The other would be the most recent issue along the coast, and that is with flood insurance, where the federal government is coming in. And I know that there's been calls by other lawmakers here on the South Shore to have the state attorney general get involved with that to protect the communities and the residents from the high cost of insurance. Give me an idea where you stand on a couple of issues like that.
On the flood insurance, it really does seem like the federal government wants to come in and change the rules of the game after it's begun. People built their livelihoods, built their homes in those areas, knowing that they had access to flood insurance and know that it was going to cost them something, but know that it wasn't going to be outrageous and that they were going to be able to protect their homes. Now the federal government comes along and wants to raise those rates tremendously to the point where many, many people couldn't afford that. And the Attorney General should step in with the Attorney Generals of other coastal states that are affected by this and petition the federal government or bring suit, if necessary, to prevent that from happening. And if it's going to happen over a long period of time where people can acclimate and plan, not change the rules in the middle of the game. As far as Plymouth is concerned, after Fukushima happened, I chaired a hearing on nuclear safety in the Commonwealth in my capacity as chair of the Public Safety and Homeland Security Committee to make sure that local communities were protected from events like that. And it became clear that only the totally contiguous, the immediately contiguous communities were fully protected and given full information of what's going on. And I think we need to make an effort to expand that release of information to communities even further out in the neighborhood of Plymouth and the two other nuclear plants that we have in the Commonwealth. The one out in western Massachusetts is shut down, but there are still spent rods kept there. And, of course, Seabrook up on the north coast.
Is there anything that we haven't asked that you want to have a chance to speak on for a moment before we go as far as your website, where your campaign stands, if folks want to get involved?
Sure. www.hanknaughton.com. And I just want people to know that my goal, my vision is to be the people's attorney, to get the Attorney General's office out there in the streets to protect people from various schemes that are being launched against them, to protect the environment, to protect them through ensuring our cybersecurity, to protect our children, and protect our seniors, make sure that consumers and workers are protected. I want to use the skill set I've built up as an investigator, as an assistant district attorney, as a legislator, as a lawyer in private practice building up a small business, as a veteran, a soldier, a JAG, and most importantly to me, my family, my wife and children are always utmost in my mind. And I want to use those experiences and that skill set to bring a new vision to the Attorney General's office and get it out there in the streets to fight for the people.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us, not only as someone who has, who is doing service in the military. We want to thank you, Major, and we want to thank you as a state representative. And we'll definitely look to have you on somewhere down the road as things start heating up when it comes to the state elections.
That's fantastic. I look forward to it.
And again, thank you for your service.
Thanks, Steve. Happy Veterans Day to all my colleagues out there.
We're going to step aside when we come back. More Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.